In a newspaper story yesterday in the Sentinel, or the Sentinel as it's called, front page of the Sentinel had a story which we're going to talk about called Keep Santa Cruz Kind of Weird. New head of Downtown Association says goal is no longer to rebuild, but to clean up, or to clean up if you want to put it in American. So stay tuned and do consider calling in if you've got some comments to make. I've invited the executive director of the Downtown Association, known only by the name of Chip, to give a call and to discuss the meeting the Downtown Association had last night. Behind closed doors, the Downtown Association had its meeting at the McPherson Natural History Center, and they talked about what is to be done about the downtown and what they all wanted to do and so forth. And I have a few kind of secondhand reports from that meeting, but I would really prefer to have Chip or somebody else from the meeting call in directly. And if any of you merchants are listening in, and you probably aren't because who listens into my show from the Downtown Association? Very few. Or police officers, of course, are also welcome to call in. You may disguise your voice if you're afraid that Police Chief Scary, Howard Scary, may be listening. You know, you never can tell when the boss is tuning in. Feel free to call in and express your views. We are going to be playing a number of interviews, or I am, which concern, stuff on the streets, mostly on Pacific Avenue. I think it's entirely on Pacific Avenue, pretty much, in the last couple of days. So if that's your meat, it's mine, too. That's what I'll be talking about today on the air with my guests, Les and Eagle Feather. Is that correct?
Right.
And here, Eagle Feather, why don't you belly up to the mic? You have to be pretty close to it, like about an inch away, or you have to talk loudly, as the case may be. But you're at the wrong mic, and that's my fault. You have to belly up to the other mic. We're doing a little technical diddling around here in
hello,
the studio.
Hello, hello, hello.
There you go. All righty. So let's introduce ourselves, shall we? What's your name, Whitebeard?
This is Eagle Feather.
And you, sir?
My name is Les.
And the two of you are, how long have you been in Santa Cruz?
I've been in Santa Cruz exactly 3 weeks, and December 1st, I'm going to Texas. I've had enough.
Aha. Uh-huh. And how about you, Les?
I've been here since 91.
And so you're sort of a longer-term kind of guy.
Yeah.
Both of you are outdoors, correct?
Yes, sir.
And both of you had the privilege of getting sleeping tickets from the Santa Cruz Police Department.
Oh, we've got a few.
I got a few of them.
So that sounds like almost like a chorus, but it's actually you're talking about different experiences and different nights and probably a different,
well,
different cops.
What I'm saying is the police came up. They had no – we got permission to stay in this place in front of the church, and then all of a sudden last night at 11 o'clock – they kicked us out with no reason, no recourse, just get the hell out. We don't want you here.
And this is the Greek Orthodox Church we're talking about across from the library and the city hall?
Yes.
And what? How many police were involved in this eviction?
Five.
And how many of you were there?
Six of us.
And this happened about 11 o'clock?
Yeah.
And can you describe for me, had you slept there before Eagle Feather?
Oh, yes, we slept there for 3 weeks.
And had
the cops drove by every
night and waved to us and everything. And then all of a sudden, last night, they banged us.
And did you express a concern on this, as a what was going on?
Yeah, I asked the cop, how come I'm getting a sleeping ticket when I got permission to be here? And he goes, well, they changed their mind.
Now, of course, the thing to do is to figure out, did anybody contact the authorities today to figure out, the church authorities, to figure out if the police officers were accurate in their statements?
Well, I went up to the church, and as a church man, he said he didn't know anything about it.
And this was this the same person who had previously given you,
yes.
Or was it somebody else who was
the
there?
The one who gave us permission.
And who is he? What's his name?
I don't know. I can't give his name out. He's a pastor.
But, you know, he's...
He's part of the church.
And how many occasions has he given permission, or did it just happen once, or did it happen...
He gave us permission to stay at the church. I was there 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, we can't be there.
And did he express any concern that you've been told to leave, or did he just sort of look baffled?
He looked at me like, what'd you say?
And what did you kind of clarify for him?
I told him, I said, look, we got thrown off your porch, and I got a sleeping ticket. He goes, well, I'll see what I can do.
Uh-huh. So what about, tonight, are you intending to sleep in front of the police department? Where are you going to be sleeping tonight?
I'm going to sleep on top of the cop shop.
On top of the cop shop. This could be a new first. I may have to try to hire a plane to go over. Les, any comments on this?
Going back to the Orthodox Church, my experience, I've heard through years that people have been sleeping up there, and I've had heard no complaints about it. Now, I slept there one night, and the nice officer in the blue uniform told us that we couldn't sleep there anymore. So we had to leave.
Now, when did the officer tell you that?
That was about four nights ago.
So apparently, and that thing that happened to you, the warning you got, or the eviction you got a ticket, actually.
I got a written ticket.
You got a ticket, and how many other tickets were issued last night?
Oh, there was six of us up there. I got six tickets, plus there was a guy in the back. He got a ticket. That's seven.
And had you been there, you say you've been there for 3 weeks. Were you there when Les got his ticket 4 days, or got his, did you get a ticket or a warning, Les?
I got a warning.
And were you alone when you got the warning, or were other people around?
There was other people around. There was probably about six of us up there.
And how many, what time of night was that?
This was probably about 3 o'clock in the morning.
And were you a part of that group with Les when the warning was given?
Yep. And I went back to sleep.
Because, so you ignored the warning?
Yep.
So why should you complain about getting a ticket, you scoundrel?
Because they had no right to give me one, because I have permission to be there.
I see. So, and you confirmed this today by talking to Pastor X about this issue.
Yep.
Okay. Phone number to call in if you've had similar experiences or have some doubts about the credibility of these gentlemen, or possibly are persuaded of their credibility and are outraged at what the police are doing, or possibly don't give a shit anyway, or think it's not as much of an issue as it should be. Whatever your thoughts are, feel
please
free to
call in.
Yes, 427-3772, 427-FRSC is the phone number to call in. And while you're deciding whether to call in or not, let's hear a little more from the Magic Circle, which is a way of saying all the different names under which Peter, Paul, and Mary, I should say, the Mamas and the Papas, not Peter, Paul, and Mary, used to be known before they got together as a group.
Yeah, Mama Cass would be mad.
Here's a sorry story of a maladjusted man. He seemed a normal guy, but here's the hitch. He had an eccentricity that banned him from society. The man just wouldn't sing along with Mitch. We'll have to hang him from the rafters, burn him as a witch. The man who wouldn't sing along with Mitch.
He had a normal childhood and he grew up rather well.
He was handsome, he was charming, he was rich.
He was loaded.
But then his world came tumbling down as word began to get around
that he was silent when they sang with Mitch. We'll have to hang him from the rafters, burn him as a witch. The man who wouldn't sing along with Mitch.
He got a job in Washington and worked up to the top. Then the Secret Service boys heard someone snitch.
Someone snitched!
So then the boss got real upset and dropped him from the cabinet.
On my team we all sing along with Mitch.
He fled to Cape Canaveral to really get away. He jumped inside a rocket, pulled the switch. On landing he discovered soon he wasn't welcome on the moon.
Up here we all sing along with Mitch.
We'll have to hang him from the rafters, burn him as a witch. The man who wouldn't sing along with Mitch.
Now when his life was over and he faced the pearly gates, he found them locked and felt a nervous twitch. The angels were all occupied, they'd laid their golden harps aside.
And we're singing along with Mitch.
There's the only rose in Texas that I have ever seen.
And that was The Man Who Wouldn't Sing Along with Mitch from The Magic Circle. This is a song by Fred Hertz and Charles Green from the Halifax Three. And the Halifax Three, I guess, were, along with the Big Three, the Smoothies, the New Journeymen, the Mugwumps, were people who were later made up the Mamas and the Papas, Cass Elliott, Denny Doherty, John Phillips, and Michelle Phillips. And you guys like that kind of music, I take it.
Oh, yes.
Well,
it was really good.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I'm old, kind of a cross between folk and
country western.
And a little of that, yeah. Kind of the Kingston Trio meets Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. Well, I'm going to read part of this article.
Read the story.
I'm going to read part of this article from the Santa Cruz Sentinel of yesterday, Wednesday, November 12th. This is an article by sort of, I want to call her fiction writer, but propagandist Genevieve Bookwalter, who's a Sentinel staff writer. It's on the front page, takes up at least half the front page, and it's got a big picture of, well, I think it has you, there's a little picture of you there, Les, and then there's a picture of a guy who's taking off his shirt, showing his tattoos, who I guess we spoke with on the street today, or I did, and he suggested that he was kind of tricked into this, making him look like kind of some sort of a weirdo, almost by, was it with a request from the photographer? I don't know.
It was a request from a gentleman that wanted to see him do flips, and in return that he was going to give him some money for doing it.
So, but it didn't have anything to do with the Santa Cruz Sentinel?
Nobody said nothing to us about it.
Okay, so maybe it wasn't a opposed event. Boy, that is one loud ring. My goodness.
Oh, wow.
Let's turn that down a little. Let's see who's calling in here on the line. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Les.
Hey, hi there.
Eagle Feather.
I'm trying to connect with somebody who's in the station.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what you might do? You might
see some homeless people down here.
You're trying to. Yeah, why don't you call in on the other line? That might be the best thing to do.
Call on the other line.
Well, actually, here. Why don't I just hand you the phone?
Whatever.
And we'll hope that this you can keep your conversation quiet so it doesn't become a major public event. Hang on. So, yeah, that's a call-in from one of the folks here, and hopefully that's helpful. The number you can call in, and you can call in a moment once this conversation is over, is still 427-3772, and the alternate line is 469-3119. Now, I'm going to read a bit of this story so that folks can... I'm going to read a bit of this story, and it's kind of, it's not that long, but it gives you an idea of, well, the mindset of the writer, and to some extent, the mindset of the people who she is acting as a loudspeaker for. And the story reads as, the headline is, "Keep Santa Cruz Kind of Weird, New Head of Downtown Association Says Goal Is No Longer to Rebuild, But to Clean Up." And there's a quote from Mayor Ryan Coonerty, who was reelected last week. With a, and it quotes, "I just hear from too many people in too many parts of the city that they don't feel comfortable coming downtown." I'm going to read the story as much as I can without stopping, and then I'll give commentary, and of course I'll give you gentlemen a chance to respond with your thoughts on the story, and perhaps Coral will have some thoughts. Who knows? She's still lingering in the studio here. Here's the story. Santa Cruz. When candidates for Santa Cruz City Council walked neighborhood streets earlier this year, the biggest complaints many of them heard were about Pacific Avenue. "I just heard from too many people in too many parts of the city that they don't feel comfortable coming downtown," Mayor Ryan Coonerty said. Some complaints are the same ones that have been circulating for years, like those about aggressive panhandling and the in-the-open drug use. But more city residents seem to be violating their voicing their gripes than in years past, Coonerty said. Enter Chip, the new director of the Downtown Association, which is made up of owners of downtown businesses. His goal, he said, is to make Pacific Avenue a place where everyone in town is comfortable. In other words, preserve the quirkiness. "It's the transient population or the Lamborghini set," said Chip. I'm sorry, I'm skipping something here. "Preserve the quirkiness, but get rid of the illegal behavior without turning downtown Santa Cruz into downtown Los Gatos. Ideally, one group doesn't take over downtown, whether it's the transient population or the Lamborghini set," said Chip, a longtime city resident and fixture in the city's art scene who goes by just one name. That goal, he acknowledged, is easier said than done. Almost 20 years after the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake leveled much of the downtown, most of Pacific Avenue has been rebuilt. Now attention on the business community and city government is shifting from filling the final open lots to managing what has emerged, as both Coonerty and Chip said. Boutique art shops and independent coffee houses draw numerous shoppers and sidewalks bustle on a typical Sunday afternoon. But others are driven away by filthy sidewalks and panhandlers who pester passersby for money and food. Many readers' letters to the Sentinel include comments about downtown, like Pacific Avenue is a veritable gauntlet of disheveled panhandlers squatting on the sidewalk with signs, or there are differences in community standards that are so significant they rise to make the otherwise unacceptable acceptable within the city of Santa Cruz. Indeed, as Chip walked down Pacific Avenue on Tuesday discussing the issues facing downtown, four people within three blocks stopped and asked for the leftovers he was carrying from lunch. That, Chip said, is the kind of behavior he wants to stop, perhaps with stickers on to-go boxes, telling customers about homeless services they could donate money to instead. The key to cleaning up downtown, Chip said, is getting the community involved in letting others know that illegal activity is not welcome. Along with the stickers, Chip is considering a program that would train about 15 volunteers to patrol downtown for illegal activity and report it, similar to the Downtown Host program, which enjoys a handful of people. City leaders also have purchased a sidewalk scrubber set to be unveiled Thursday. J.P. Correa, co-owner of Vino Cruz in Abbott Square near the new Cooper House, said he appreciates the efforts to maintain and clean up Pacific Avenue. "We've got a jewel box of a downtown. Everyone needs to realize that," Correa said. "How many people on the coast of California would kill for a downtown like we have? We just have to take care of it." And that's the story in yesterday's Sentinel by Genevieve Bookwalter. I've got some comments on the story which I'd like to make, but perhaps one or two or three of you might want to comment on some of that.
Sure.
I think the aggressive panhandlers downtown, they shouldn't have them. They shouldn't walk up to people and say, "You got any spare change?" and stuff like that. If they're sitting down there doing their signs, the people notice them. They're not begging. They just got a sign out. That's the way they should do it, not go up to people and go, "Got any spare change?" That's wrong.
You mean sort of like you were doing at the 7-Eleven today?
10-4. Mm-hmm. Not mentioning my name.
Go ahead. Les, you have a comment?
Yeah. Well, I'm an aggressive panhandler, but I do it within a polite way. If somebody, even if they don't give any money, I always say, "God bless and have a nice day." Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to make a really good impression with a lot of people down there. My outlook is a lot of the younger generation is kind of messing it up for a lot of us older people that have been downtown for a long time. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, like you were saying earlier, I've been here since the early 90s, and I've seen a lot of change. I've seen the shelter change. I was back here in the back, the tent city when they had that going.
I was here then, too.
But what they're trying to do is run us homeless out. I don't think so.
You mean you don't think they are? You don't think that's a good idea, and you think that is what they're trying to do?
I think they're trying to run us out, and that's not going to happen.
Well, here's my thought about this article, guys.
Sure.
You know, first of all, as with the law in the parking lot that I've talked about a lot, which makes it illegal to be in a parking lot to socialize or assemble in any public parking lot anymore. It used to be it's legal. The Drum Circle, for example, every Wednesday is completely illegal, but the community has said, in essence, to the police and the mayor, "Fuck off." That is to say, you know, we have the right to assemble here. Bite me. And indeed, the police have realized that that unless they want to have a lot of trouble with the community, or at least a certain portion of the community, they want allowed this traditional activity, this peaceful activity, this cultural activity, to continue. More important, this constitutionally protected activity. So there is a continual pressure by merchants to gentrify, privatize, control. He says manage, but essentially suppress non-commercial activity downtown. As I say, they want you to throw your money in the stores and walk on, if possible. That's the way it used to be described 20 years ago, and this kind of mentality. So what I notice is there's talk about illegal behavior. There's talk about drug use. There's talk about all this stuff. And then there's talk about asking for people's lunches, leftovers, which people do, and other people leave their leftovers. The idea that this is somehow some kind of criminal behavior, to me, is really ridiculous. And it's more important. What's important to me is that you'll notice there are no police stats of any kind. just as there was no police statistics justifying these laws, there's no stats showing how many people have been assaulted or robbed, or there's any really serious crime happening down there. And the so-called drug problem, how much of it is petty marijuana sales or marijuana use? Marijuana sales and marijuana use. And something essentially that the community would say, what the fuck are the police doing anyway? I mean, you know, I suppose you can say, well, we don't want our children to see people smoking marijuana, but it's perfectly fine to see them smoking alcohol and drinking beer and so forth in the little sidewalk cafes. I find this hypocrisy just too much to stomach. And so there's no... Yeah, what's that, Les?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Now, going back to the drugs,
Back it to the camera.
Yeah. Going back to what you were talking about, the drugs, I heard it from a police officer, and I wish I would have gotten his name. They don't want the hard drugs. We understand this. But he made it plainly clear, it's not the pot, it's the harder stuff.
That's very nice. But the fact is they go after the marijuana. So that's a bunch of horse shit. I'm sorry they like to say that, but I've had so many cases of people whose marijuana has been taken, who have been
ticketed or
destroyed. And, you know, and we saw that the whole basis for going after Donna Dice and breaking her arm, which Sergeant Lamas did back on May 9th out at the cliffs, was a marijuana bust. And no one was charged with marijuana anyway afterward. It just became the pretext for doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So if the Downtown Association is so damn concerned about helping with the problems downtown, then they have to address the underlying causes, which have to do with a bogus drug war, has to do with a whole series of restrictions on behavior that have nothing to do with... I wouldn't call asking someone for spare change aggressive panhandling unless you're pursuing them up the street and threatening them or speaking to them in a nasty or hostile way.
That's very true.
So therefore, most of these laws around panhandling, which were passed in 1994 by the Coonerty, the Neil Coonerty regime. We now have Ryan Coonerty, his son, mayor. He was mayor back in 93 and still on the council and the leader of this movement in 94. He passed a whole series of laws, the first in the state of California, that made it illegal to sit within 14 feet. Actually, it was within 6 feet of a building initially. Now it's 14 feet. An even larger forbidden zone has been established. Made it illegal to sit in a group of 2 people. It actually, in theory, requires you to stand up if you're holding a sign and panhandle, which, of course, would seem to me to be even more aggressive than sitting down, although you don't see this being enforced in that way. So the problem with this whole... treatment by the Sentinel, as with most treatments by the Sentinel, is it doesn't have any documentation. It's just sheer propaganda or sheer assertion without proof. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. It's Craig.
Hey there, Craig. You better turn down your radio, big guy.
I'm trying to at the moment here.
I hear a blah, 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 blah in the background there.
There we go.
Okie doke.
I have a couple of questions. First of all, you know, I was listening to the show tonight mainly because I wanted to know what happened last night in front of the Palomar. I heard this loud commotion, and then this guy screaming, "Oh, my God, help, help, help." And I go downstairs, and there's a guy sitting on the sidewalk, a big, hefty, strong-looking guy, crying, screaming for help from the police.
Because they tased him.
And before I could figure out what was going on, then some guy started yelling at me to call the mayor. And so I decided to get out of there before, whatever broke loose. I was listening to your show, and one of your guys commented about begging or panhandling. And they weren't aggressive and, you know, about how they should do it and all. But the fact is that it's illegal, isn't it? To have a sign, and they call it an open display, guys, the device. The first guy that signed my petition to run for city council was given a ticket for having a guitar case open and sitting on the lip of a planter.
Yeah, it's illegal to sit on the lip of a planter or theoretically on any public property and engage in any behavior that is not traditional or for which the so-called architecture was customarily designed, and that's been used by the police. It's also illegal to panhandle from a seated position. This has never been enforced. I've never heard of a ticket for this. But it is also illegal to sit with an open guitar case or a container with it closer than 10 feet to a building or for more than an hour if you are first warned after an hour, and you have to move the display device or set up a second one or have someone else set up a second display device.
Well, this is very characteristic of Santa Cruz. It's what I see all the time. They make it impossible for you to do anything. Panhandling is an example. They make it impossible for you to do it in a polite, civilized manner. You can't sit there with a sign or they'll give you a ticket. So they've run off all the people who display common courtesy, and what you've got left are the ones you don't want.
Well, it actually is legal to sit with a sign, provided it's before sunset. You know, after sunset, signs become very lethal, and you don't want to have anybody with a sign after sunset. That's illegal. It is legal to do that.
You know, Robert, now, wait a minute. I come to think of it, I actually saw someone else. Cosmic Steve, I think is who you call
him. Cosmic Chris.
Cosmic Chris got a ticket in the afternoon. It was like before 6 o'clock. For having an open display device that was in front of, what's the name of that surf store? O'Neill's.
Mm-hmm.
On the planter there. And actually, Valerie had just come by at the time. And the ticket was for having an open display device, i.e.
Well, first of all, nobody ever accused the police of actually following the law, so we got to keep that in mind. The police mm-hmm. make it up as they go along, and they have their, or let's put it this way, they refer to their little kind of summary books or what they thought was they heard, you know, from their orientation sessions. And frequently, or at least certainly with some regularity, they get it wrong. And so that, you know, that's one thing. But I think the broader point is that the matrix of laws that they have set up, as you point out, is, you didn't say this, but this is what I say, it allows police officers to engage in selective enforcement because they will ignore many people doing the same activity, and then they will zero in on somebody that they don't like or that they have some reason to be concerned about. They will say, oh, it's because we have a complaint. But the laws are not for people who are complained about. The laws are for everyone. If an activity is illegal, it's illegal. So what the police are doing is illegal. The problem, of course, is to get somebody who has the legal muscle and or else the persistence to go after this. And that's why I was glad when you ran for city council, because we are talking, of course, to Craig Canada, who was a man who got more than 1,000 votes, which is at least 40 times as many votes as I got, or 20 times as many votes as I got when I ran for city council as a write-in candidate. So congratulations, Craig, when I ran for city council.
Thanks, I guess.
Yeah, I know you were the last, you know, on the ballot, but that's still...
I was disappointed. I really didn't want to be last.
No,
I was hoping
no,
I would
but
do
you
better
got,
than
you
that.
Got, there were at least 1,000 people who agreed with you, and that is a significant thing. And I
1,600.
Actually, Becky in the studio says it was over 1,600, so...
Yeah.
So that's you didn't get the, what, 16,000 or 20,000 that Coonerty got, I'm not sure, 11,000, I don't know how many Coonerty got, but I mean, you know, then again, you didn't spend the tens of thousands of dollars that he did you?
No, I didn't spend anything. I bought one pack of those index cards so I could, you know, make notes and carry them with me. But I want to get off the phone, Robert, but if somebody knows what happened in front of the Palomar last night, I'd really like to know. There was this guy sitting out there screaming for help from the police, and I've been there.
You know, actually, I was there just after it
I
happened, and I taped some interviews, and we also have an eyewitness to this the infamous and little known hitherto, but henceforth to be world famous, Eagle Feather. Eagle Feather, do talk into the mic and tell us what you observed. And Craig, thank you for calling in, and take this off the air. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eagle Feather. What did you see last night?
Well, I saw the gentleman standing there cussing this girl, calling her everything but a white woman, and the cops came up to him and said, "Please put your hands behind your back." And he started to walk away from the cop. And the cop says, "I'm going to tell you one more time. You take one more step, I'm going to tase you." So he tased him, and down he went. That's the end of the story.
And that's what you saw. Actually, I've got several other accounts. One who sort of agrees with you in your account. Three women who saw a somewhat different account. Les, you have a comment on that, or? Yeah, I mean, so when I got there, all I saw was an individual who's being shoved into the police car, shouting, "Don't hurt me! Don't hurt me!" And there was a lot of people are very angry and upset that the man had been tased. Others were not so upset, such as yourself. Les,
I know, it's kind of funny.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I heard the yelling, and I was over at the Santa Cruz bookstore.
Uh-huh. Bookshop Coonerty, we call it. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here having a cigarette, relaxing. I kept on hearing this really loud scream, like somebody was in dire need for help. So I decided to go investigate to find out what was going on. And the fact that I believe that's when I bumped into you.
I don't know. There was a lot of confusion last night.
Yeah, there was.
What did you see is the point, though.
I didn't see anything. I just saw the after cleanup.
Right, so let's leave it. Also in the studio with us is Becky Johnson, who has been a homeless activist on these issues for two decades now. It provokes more hostility in the Sentinel forums than anyone I know, myself included. There were 230 comments on this particular story that I read earlier, at midday today. Hi, Becky.
Hi, and hi to all my fans out there.
Hey there.
Or my non-fans.
Now, do you have any comments on this article, which I read aloud right before you arrived?
Oh, yeah, I read it. And, you know, this is your annual time to sweep the streets of the poor campaign just before Christmas that it happens every year, you know. I think the merchants are more desperate than ever this year because the economy is in such bad shape and all their, you know, their merchandise is so overpriced and not terribly useful anyway for far too much of the merchandise available on Pacific Avenue. And so, you know, we have the annual cleanup. Let's get all the riffraff out of sight so that shoppers can feel safe and come out and with their credit cards and buy.
So you're saying that during the holidays that we can't panhandle?
Well, panhandling, contrary to some of my people commenting in the forum there, is a legal activity. It's protected under the First Amendment right to freedom of speech. You have the freedom to speak to another person, even if they didn't speak to you first, or even if you don't know them, and you can form your speech in the form of a question and ask if they have any spare change or if they're carrying, as in the article here, Chip was carrying some leftovers. And, you know, you were talking about aggressive panhandlers earlier. It's been my experience that when you come across someone who is like a super aggressive panhandler, they just won't take no for an answer, that is usually a person who is starving.
That's my philosophy on this as well, because, as I said earlier, I do aggressive panhandling, but I do it in a very polite manner.
No, aggressive panhandling.
Politely, aggressively.
Aggressive panhandling means getting up and following people around.
No, I do not do that.
Well, then you don't do aggressive panhandling. But don't let them label you as something you're not. You are peacefully asking for spare change, are you not?
Yes, I am. And in fact,
are you threatening the people? Are you?
Oh, no.
Are you trying to make them feel uncomfortable if they don't give you money?
Actually, I think I'm making them feel comfortable by saying God bless and have a beautiful day.
Making them feel comfortable.
Yes.
Right. So again, don't see, one of the things I think that they want to convince you to do, and I actually had a conversation with Chip about this yesterday. I talked to him on the phone briefly, who's the Downtown Association's new executive director. I mean, he asked me if I was an instigator or wanted to be a potential ally. And, you know, I mean, it's really a false dichotomy. I want to make sure that people's rights are protected, and I certainly would like to see a more comfortable and hospitable downtown for everybody. And that's not just for somebody who comes there expecting to go into Disneyland, Carmel, or, you know, Los Altos, I don't know, whatever, you know.
Or Las Gatos.
Or Las Gatos. I mean, I think, you know, it's, again, the problem is since you don't have any specifics in this article about the real details of the problem, other than anecdotes and people who are emboldened by the election of Ryan Coonerty, because they now, I mean, this is my speculation too, I'm just speculating as well, you know, but my issue is not so much this silly article, but the police response in the last couple of weeks seems to be a significant step up of harassment downtown. Do you think that's accurate, gentlemen? Is that?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And what was worse today is they went after the Christian people for singing.
Tell me about that.
They went over to the Christian people.
In front of Borders?
In front of Borders, and they gave them all tickets for disturbing the peace.
Disturbing the peace?
Are you kidding?
No.
How many cops were involved? You both
Was it amplified sound?
Four cops?
Yeah.
Was it amplified sound?
No, it wasn't. It was acoustic.
A cappella.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what were they singing? Were they singing, you know, damn the homosexuals or something politically incorrect? Or?
No, they were singing
God loves you and all this stuff?
They were saying God bless America. They were, this is the day that the Lord has made.
And who took tickets? All the people? How many? Who was ticketed? Do you know?
I know of at least two people that got tickets.
Wow. I mean, it's interesting. Becky, you have a comment on this?
Well, it reminds me of the remember the Yellow Submarine and the Blue Meanies? And the Blue Meanies were all out to destroy music and destroy fun and destroy happiness.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I remember that.
You know, that's what our police do downtown. They say if you're singing or if you're gathering together with your friends and you're happy and you're having animated talk, isn't one of those photographs someone's giving someone a hug there?
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't seem like such a terrible scene. And, you know, and they say, oh, that dirty downtown.
Dirt
but
up?
I don't see any dirt down there. I see some people.
Not
even that many people.
There was just me and my friend Tater, as we call him, and one other gentleman and a lady that was trying to...
Let's not jump to the picture because nobody can see the picture is the problem.
Well, hopefully people have seen it either in today's paper can see it on the website,
that's true.
Sentinel website.
What we were talking about before was that, at least what I wanted to refer to, was this a ticketing of people for singing religious songs downtown. Tell me more about this. How did the police say stop your singing, and the singer said we won't stop singing, or what happened there?
What they done was they walked up and just started writing them tickets.
And what was the reaction of the religious folks? What did they say?
They said we got permission to do it.
And what would the police say in response?
No, you don't.
And then what happened?
Then they said we're writing you all tickets.
Uh-huh.
Were they very loud?
Oh yeah, they were singing loud. They had drum sets out there, and
well, people play on Pacific Avenue all the time. You know, they so I don't see that that's the base. Sounds like they're going after it's a content based thing where they don't like the sound of the music. What time was this? When did this happen?
About
4:30.
And was there any ultimate response from the religious folks after this happened? Did you see what happened next?
I got up there at the last moment, and when I left, there were just the singers and the tambourines, but there was no drums at the time.
Did you see any response from the religious folks again?
No, I didn't.
Okay. We have a caller. Hi there, caller. You're on Free Radio with Becky Eaglefeather and Les, not to mention me. Hello. Turn down your radio, please.
Yeah. Hey, it's Bam Bam.
Hey, Bam Bam. What's up?
Oh, I just want to let you know, I was with... Tater when he got that photograph, and I talked to him about the whole thing, and I don't know if now is a good time to say something about that.
Oh, sure. I mean, again, I'll tell our listeners again, as Becky suggested, this is the photo that was on the front page of the Sentinel yesterday in the story that said, "Keep Santa Cruz kind of weird. New head of Downtown Association says goal is no longer to rebuild, but to clean up." And it has a picture of... kind of the front of Borders from across the street, a guy taking off his shirt, a couple folks sitting down on the street corner. It's actually the street corner of Pacific and Soquel outside New Leaf Market. Go ahead there, Bam Bam.
Yeah, anyway, when I first saw it, I had to laugh because I thought it was so outrageous because this guy is what I consider, a lot of people consider, one of the best country western music people singing archives of old Hank... who am I trying to think of? Not Hank Williams. Who's the big...
you're talking about Willie Nelson.
No, not Willie Nelson. It's Hank somebody and Hank Jr.
Oh, Hank Williams.
Is it Hank Williams?
Hank Williams and...
Whoever it is. What's your point?
Yeah, okay. Anyway, the guy's an incredible musician. He's played all over, you know, New Orleans. And the guy is loved by so many people down here on the mall. And he's out here entertaining people, doing backflips, and, you know, being like a father figure. And for them to put that picture in there, to me, is like blasphemy and absolutely like, you know, total disrespect. And he even asked if there's some way to even sue. Now, because it's a public place and you're allowed to photograph, that's one thing. But when you, like, slander somebody, he's been approached by 10 people today. I was with him. And they all say, oh, you were the one on the cover. So he's getting, like, harassment about that picture. Now, I'm hoping there's something we can do legally with this.
Is he getting harassment, or are people asking to sign have the autograph signed?
No, not an autograph. Just more like, oh, you're that dude with, you know, you're flashing or something, you know. And he's like, I wasn't doing that. And he's getting all pissed off because that's not what he was doing at all. He was trying to show his tattoo. to a photographer that he didn't know was a news.
You know, I hear you. Did you talk to Tater and find out why? You know what the deal was? Did the Sentinel involve itself in actually creating that photo or not?
No. Oh, I tried to call the editor, but all I got was a.
No. Did Tater tell you that the Sentinel asked him to take off his shirt or something?
Oh, you know, I didn't actually ask him that. I'm pretty sure they didn't say that they were the Sentinel, though. It was just a private photographer. But I'll ask him about that.
Yeah, Les and Eagle Feather are shaking their heads, and they were saying earlier, no, that was not the case, or at least somebody asked him to do a little, jumping?
His famous flips.
Flipping on the sidewalk. So he not only sings, but he flips. Does he sing as he flips?
No, but he can do that.
All right, well, that's good. Any other reports, Bam Bam, you want to pass on?
I thought a lot about this, and you know, what came up was the whole thing that happened years back, 20 years ago, whatever it was, 15, with the troll busting thing. About the guy selling those T-shirts in the store, feel like he's not responsible for a guy almost got his shoulder blown off with a homemade bazooka because the guy was claiming to be a troll buster, just like the T-shirt says, you know.
You're referring to a business that actually sold troll buster T-shirts. We had a picture of a sort of a troll with a big line through it, and then. There were people who called themselves troll busters who went around beating up and harassing homeless people. Some years before, it had been police officers who actually were doing this, and they were actually, some of them were fired from the police department eventually, and some of them were unsuccessfully prosecuted in the early 80s. I notice in the language of this article, you know, unconsciously, maybe Book Walter isn't just simply not aware of it. You know, Correa's comment, J.P. Correa's comment, how many people on the coast of California would kill for a downtown like we have? I mean, you know, that can be an innocent statement, or it can be an incitement to violence. It's a little hard to tell. And the tenor of this whole article is sort of, similarly, you have another sentence that reads, with respect to, let's see here, with Chip, it says... But others are driven away by filthy sidewalks and panhandlers. Is that filthy panhandlers, or is it just filthy sidewalks? I mean, you know, and filthy sidewalks and panhandlers who pester passersby for money and food. Now, it's certainly true that I've talked to a number of people who say, I'll never come back to the downtown before because somebody asked me for spare change, you know, in a nasty way, or complained when I didn't give it. You know, and I don't, and I always say I don't much like it when people are, I don't like to be spirit change. It makes me feel guilty. It makes me feel pressed. I don't regard it as a religious opportunity usually. I regard it as an imposition. But, you know, that's because I'm not in that situation. I'm not in the situation of the panhandler. Anyway, Bam Bam, rather than me orate, you got more you want to report?
I'm just curious what people think about that, the whole thing of like, you know, the more the paper presents people out here as just being scum and not worth
the more the hate crimes against the homeless will rise. Yes, I think that's the more the hate crimes against homeless people will rise.
Yeah,
the more
it becomes acceptable
to beat up homeless people. That's right.
Exactly. You know,
so we have to start talking self-defense groups among the homeless. We have to start talking camping together in groups, protecting yourself, and of course
having tape recorders.
Having tape recorders, or frankly. You know, you have a right to defend yourself if you're being attacked. I mean, I don't know. Whatever means people need to defend themselves, they should get. I think that, of course, this will immediately be viewed as aggressive behavior by panhandlers or by homeless people. But in fact, you know, some homeless people carry knives. They carry, you know, something that they can use in the case that they're assaulted by somebody, whether it's a wealthier person or another homeless person.
Yeah.
You know, usually it's a police officer is not wise to fight the police. You know, so, I mean, but that's not the story.
And homeless people are victims of assault far more often than house people are.
In fact, the police chief in 1999, and I'm going to let you go, Bam Bam, unless there's something else you want to say.
Well, one of the gentlemen who is in front of the bookstore when they got the ticket is here. You want to talk to him?
Sure.
Hey. They're on the air talking about this thing that happened. You want to talk to...
I'm talking about it right now.
Okay, well, this is the radio talking about this with Norris. Yeah, Pirate Radio. You want to talk to Norris about what happened? Yeah, it's a radio station.
While Bam Bam's trying to talk him into it, I just want to say that Chief Belcher...
Hello?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Hi
there.
Robert?
Who's this?
Robert, yes.
Who is this?
Are we on the air?
Who? Who is this?
Brother Lee.
Hey,
Wilson,
Lee. Hey, Lee.
Native of Santa Cruz, California, in 1957.
I remember, Lee, and I remember. I hear tell that your group got ticketed today in front of Borders.
Yes, we did.
You want to tell me about that?
The proprietor
of Borders.
Of Borders that runs the store, the franchise, I guess.
Right.
He walked by when we were doing our playing music, and we had the table set up where we hand out Bibles and we hand out food for the homeless while we were out playing music and
right.
doing our gospel songs and
uh-huh.
stuff.
Right.
He came by, he's been by here before. We've been doing this for years.
Right.
The same guy that has been running this store for years, as in every Thursday we're always out here doing the same thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden today, I don't know why, but for some reason he decides now he wants to make a big deal of it.
Now, Lee, what's the name of the group that you work with?
It's called Santa Cruz Revival.
Okay, go ahead. Keep.
They're online, santacruzrevival.com. Uh-huh. And we have a TV, community TV on channel 27 where we have church groups there on Sundays.
I enjoyed you guys' music, Lee.
Thank you.
That was Les. Go ahead, Lee. Go ahead.
He gets together with the lady who's the owner of the building. Okay?
Yeah.
And then they are communicating, but he was the one that was ruffled. He was the one that was really getting bent out of shape of us being out there. And he got together with the lady that owns her and, and we got to do this and da 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 da, And so they made a complaint to the police, and they had to serve citations.
And so did the police say that these were citizen arrest citations, or were these the police officer themselves claim that you were disturbing the peace?
Well, they had to serve because they had the complaint, so they were just doing their job by serving the complaint that they got. So they had to hand out citations.
And how many citations were actually handed out?
Oh. Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'd say there was at least 4 or 5 citations handed out.
Now you're also feeding people, are you not?
Yeah, feeding people. Yeah.
And you have a chess set up. This happens once a week.
Yeah, we've been doing this for ages, man. It's been going on for years and years, you know.
Now, did this stop you? Did you immediately pack up shop and leave, or what happened?
We ended up eventually leaving, yeah.
So they were able to deter your free speech and your right to freedom of assembly and your right to religious practice, free exercise of religion, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Charming.
A year ago, I had been out here playing, and I actually had confronted 3 officers that were standing nearby. And I walked up to these gentlemen, and I asked them if it was okay for to be out front of the store. And he gave us the permission that we would be all right, being that we're serving a good cause. You know, you got the freedom of religion, and you're out,
I understand that, Lee. You know, the fact is, though, on the public sidewalk, you don't need anybody's permission to be in front of Borders. Otherwise, we'd all be running around looking for each other's permission all the time. I mean, we have what we call the First Amendment in this country, which is supposed to guarantee you the right to exercise a religious, give out a religious message, even if I don't agree with it, even if the Borders people don't like it, unless you are doing so in such a way that would threaten other people or involves amplified sound or violates other codes. So if this happens to you again, I would just take the ticket and say, fine, thank you, officer, we're going to continue what we're doing. And, I mean, it's possible, I guess, I might arrest you and take you to jail, but that would cause such a huge scandal and a potential lawsuit, particularly if you go after an established church, that I don't think they would do it. But, of course, who knows what stupidities the police department will engage in under the right circumstances.
Yeah, we sensed that it was further than us being out here doing this. It was it was about the homeless people also that come out and gather around to get fed and to hear the music, right? And enjoy the ambience of the good spirit that we all put out together.
Well, now you've got the point. This is what they're really going after. They are going after the right to assemble of homeless people, and they would prefer not to go after you guys, but since you are allowing this and encouraging this to happen, they want to take you out. It's like they went after Food Not Bombs in San Francisco because Food Not Bombs was feeding the homeless. They go after, you know, Huff activists when Huff activists are petitioning for the right of public assembly because Huff activists are empowering the homeless. So, you know, it's part of the strategy to get rid of what they regard as undesirable people, which, of course,
is
bullshit.
Exactly, which is totally wrong.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, if the minimum wage was at such that a person could get out of high school at the age of 18 and work a job flipping burgers and be able to afford to pay rent, you know, hey.
Right.
You know.
Well,
but
even then,
a person doesn't have to get a job. A person can live, you know, on the streets if they want to by choice anyway.
Yes.
Because it's a free country after all.
Or it should be anyway.
I agree with you, Lee, because
but
I've been...
The business owners, they make their money by having their business. God's blessed them enough to have what they have. And some people don't want to be successful in business. They want to just be free spirits.
I hear you, Lena. We have a question here, I think, or a comment from Becky. Are you
Chris
Becky.
They have that right to live as such.
Are they coming to take you away? We'll see here. We're talking live with Lee on the streets. Lee, where are you on the streets right now?
Over here. This is a fire engine.
Okay.
He's actually coming up to
there goes
our sound quality.
Right. So,
he's leaving the area.
So, Lee, thank you for your commentary. And I also just want to suggest to you that give me a call on the Huff line later, 423-HUFF. That goes for anybody
else. I just wanted to make a comment, but it's kind of odd that the proprietor of this store over here, after all these years,
you're talking about Borders, yeah.
Borders, that he would complain after all these years you've been coming out here, and he always knows that we're always here on Thursdays anyway.
It's part of the crackdown,
now,
I'm afraid.
Now all of a sudden he makes a complaint about it.
Yeah, my presumption is it's part of the crackdown. Of course, I could be wrong, and I have no direct evidence.
Well,
give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, particularly if you can get the pastor or other people who are involved in this who want to come and talk about it on Sunday. I do a show on Sunday mornings. I'd like to have some more discussion of this.
Yes.
Okay, and that's pretty much your report, right?
Yeah, we're going to be on the channel. Actually, we're going to be on TV, Channel 27 Community TV, actually on next Sunday.
Will you be talking about this issue?
Well, I believe so, yeah. Now we're going to say something about it, yeah, since we're going to be there anyway.
Lee?
Yeah.
This is Becky. I'm wondering if this excessive noise charge is going to stick, because there's a very high standard, and this was before 10 o'clock at night, right?
Yes. Well, there is an ordinance.
There is an excessive noise, and then they have that signs downtown
after
where they say
PM.
Excessive
right.
noise ordinance. We can't both talk at the same time there. There are some signs that say excessive noise ordinances enforced strictly or something, whatever that means. But the excessive noise ordinance mostly goes into effect after 10 p.m.
Yes, that's true.
And if you guys did not have amplified sound, I just don't see this charge as sticking. I think that they're trying to intimidate you, get you to stop and to leave so that you're out of sight and out of the way for the Christmas shopping season. It's funny, it's a Christian group who are singing Christian songs approaching the birth of Christ, and they're being driven off the street because merchandising has become the true mission of Christmas, and Christians are just in the way.
Lee, thank you, and do get in touch with the other folks. I know you are going to be on Channel 27 Sunday. At what time?
This is at 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So folks who have cable, maybe you want to see that. And I certainly would like to hear more about this, but I would hope that you don't get driven away by this. And I hope that you come back and that this time you let us know in advance. Call the Huff line, 423-HUFF. We'll come down with video cameras. We'll keep a documentary
of it. It's going to be real interesting in court. When we have to go.
Well, don't wait for court. Otherwise, you'll be waiting for a month and a half, and hungry people won't get food, and people who are interested in your Christian message won't be able to hear it.
We keep coming out every week.
For sure, if not every night, frankly.
I mean, hey, I do this.
Right.
And I've given myself up for this cause by God's will because, hey, I could be working a full-time job with a nice apartment and have myself a nice car and a pickup truck if I wanted to, okay? And I'm doing this for that cause.
Well, thank you, Lee.
And we appreciate this, Lee.
Yeah, and so get back to me and let me know if you guys want to be on the air on Sunday, okay?
All right.
All right, man. Sunday morning is when my show is. 423-HUFF is the number. Thanks for calling in.
And is that a group that also feeds people, too?
Yes. Oh, yes, ma'am, it does.
People have no idea how important these feeding programs are in Santa Cruz.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and water.
If you're going to talk, use the mic.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and water and chips and cookies. And candy.
I know that they talk about how many services we have here in Santa Cruz.
Very few.
But the Homeless Services Center cut out their weekend meals.
Yep.
And
Elm Street is gone, except for once a week.
And
right?
I just found out that they're getting ready to cut the women's church group off at the shelter.
Although the Armory is supposed to be opening on the 15th,
yeah.
right?
This is true. So actually, they changed it. It's on Sunday the 16th.
Okay. But again, that's only going to be for a total of 160 to 180 people if you include the Armory and the church groups. And we're talking about 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people, most of whom don't want to go indoors, perhaps, but they're out there anyway, and they need some kind of ability to make their own shelter without being arrested anyway.
Well, I mean, St. Francis Soup Kitchen, and they have a very nice lunch Monday through Friday for 1 hour. I mean, if you're there at that time, that's great. But if you're not, if you can't be at that location at that time, man, there's really not that many resources around. There are a lot of people could be hungry very easily and get into a bad way.
So we're talking about the crackdown downtown against food servers, people who are spreading religious messages, folks who are asking peacefully for spare change, and homeless people generally. That's been going on with increased pressure in the last few weeks and was illustrated, the kind of hate mentality was illustrated by this Santa Cruz Sentinel story we saw on yesterday's front page. If you have any thoughts or comments, please call in 427-3772, 427-FRSC. In the studio with me are Becky, Les, and Eagle Feather, and I'm going to start playing some interviews from the street and get some comments from all of you, if you're up for it, on these interviews. And give some folks a chance to speak for themselves who haven't got radios or telephones and can't really call in, don't know the show is on. But I did get them talking on the street. So here we'll do a little of that. First, perhaps a brief musical break so we can all take a break.
Come along, everybody, come along. We're gonna hold down tonight.
Hey.
Come along, everybody, come along. They call on Saturday night.
Well, I work all day from morning till night, plowing them fields of corn. Come Saturday night, I head into town, get me a girl on my arm.
Come along, everybody, come along. We're gonna hold down tonight.
Hey.
Come along, everybody, come along. They call on.
Well, I live all alone on that green mountain top, just my mule and me.
Uh-huh.
Well, now one of these days I'm heading to town, gonna swing me a girlie round and round.
Come along,
And you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. In the studio with me, Eagle Feather, Les, Eagle. Becky, and...
Just Eagle, not Eagle.
We'll call you Eagle. Then. Sorry, Eagle. And, hey, man, we got birds of a feather here, and they're flocking for the... I'm not sure they're flocking together for how long. You can call in if you got any comments, 427-3772. I also have some... if I can find the right chords, I have some... interesting interviews, which I wish to play, and I'm going to start doing that shortly. And I won't be short with you. I'll be my usual height.
Oh, dear, yes.
That's pretty bad, yes. All right. So here we go. Interviews from the last few days, and I will be interrupting these interviews, as will our guests, perhaps, if they have comments on it. You can also interrupt. Just give a call, 427-3772. This is a show that will go on for another hour, 7 to 8, in case you want to call in again, 427-3772.
You're watching an encounter between the Santa Cruz Police Department.
I'm not there. I'm just talking to you about it. That's what I'm getting forced about, okay?
Okay. Well, so officer's talking to an African-American guy seated on the sidewalk in front of Borders.
Somebody who's smoking the face isn't very close.
It's about 3:55.
Okay. All right, very good. Make sure you don't, okay?
And the officer is saying he's heard a report that this guy has been blowing smoke in people's face.
But they did see you. Okay. Do you have any idea? Thanks.
And the officer is requesting ID, which, of course, is not required to present ID unless there's reasonable suspicion of a crime. And the officer is actually anticipating a charge or citation.
And we're turning the tape over. Don't despair.
Well, that was really fascinating, Robert.
Yeah. And actually, what we got here is a situation where there's an African-American guy, short of African-American guy, sitting on the corner at Borders with a little sign and a set of bunny ears on, very sort of small bunny ears. And he is being kind of grilled by a police officer about a complaint the officer received about somebody, his blowing smoke in someone's face. And I express myself on tape, so I'm not going to go and duplicate what I do there. But here you can hear my concerns, which I've raised on the sidewalk. As soon as we get back to the appropriate place on the tape, of course, as should happen shortly. You don't have to identify yourself as a police officer unless you're actually being arrested. And even then, you don't really have to identify yourself if you claim that you have a right to remain silent, because you do. You have a right to remain silent. You say anything, I will just simply, I will speak to an attorney, and that's right. It is, in fact, the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, and I believe there's a similar amendment at the state level. But if you want to get out sooner, you can say who you are, give your name and address, and then they cite you out. I mean, it's not always the best strategy, depending on how strongly you feel about what the officer is doing in terms of his arrest procedures.
And, officer, what's your name?
You can talk to me after if you'd like.
Sure, I'm just going to take a look at your name tag. Thank you, officer. Sorry, I should have recognized you. It's Officer Ennui, and he... And he's checking an ID again. People are voluntarily surrendering their IDs because some guy with a gun and a badge comes up to you. You're poor. What else are you going to do unless you want to create a potential conflict situation?
I'm investigating an assault. Okay. Blowing smoke in somebody's face is an assault. Okay.
And I don't really think blowing smoke in somebody's face is an assault. An assault is putting someone in fear of an assault, a fear of physical injury. A battery would be an illegal touching. It might be a nuisance crime. It might be, if a person is asthmatic, it might be an assault. It's not something I would recommend doing. It sounds, however, like, again, one of these pretexts for going after homeless people, or let's put it this way, the police may have been told, if the merchants call you with a complaint, get down there, lickety-split, and go for it with a significant amount of force. Because I've noticed a lot of these calls involve 2, 3, 4, 5 police officers, 2 or 3 squad cars, when it's a relatively minor event, whether it's a bicycle ticket or whatever. And it makes me feel uncomfortable to see so much force being used in that way.
Right now I'm investigating. You're not under arrest right now. Okay.
Why are you asking me, bro? I didn't do anything to anybody, man.
Right now I'm talking to you. Copy. Right now I'm talking to you about it. Okay. I have a report that you were.
Yeah.
Blackmail Afro with bunny ears.
Okay.
So, here's the deal. They don't want to press charges right now. They just want me to talk to you.
Show me the person at the
start.
A point that is to be made, if they don't want to press charges, the police officer has no business having anything to do with this guy unless this guy wants to talk to him. In other words, it has to be a consensual stop. Unless he is passing on a citation for, you know, a citizen's arrest or making his own arrest or detaining someone incident to a possible future arrest because of a crime he suspects is happening where he's going to get more information about the crime, he's giving the impression that the guy has to talk to him. Give me your ID. Let's talk. I'm here to talk to you. And the guy doesn't know that he can say, I don't want anything to say to you, officer. Leave me alone. And then go back to what he's doing. Most people don't realize they have this right. Go ahead.
Was there any crime committed when the officer talked to this gentleman with the bunny ears?
Well, you mean did the officer commit a crime?
No, did the...
The guy with the bunny ears commit
yes.
a crime. Well, I don't know. Apparently the officer claims, and I don't say he was necessarily not telling us the truth, that he got a report that somebody with African-American with bunny ears was blowing smoke in this person's face. And I suppose the officer claims that's an assault, and he's investigating an assault. But again, your response to an investigation, particularly if it involves you, frankly, is to say, officer, I have nothing to say. I want to speak to an attorney, and I don't consent to a search. And am I free to leave? That's it. And if the officer wants to arrest you, they'll arrest you. You don't have to give more evidence against yourself under these circumstances, particularly if it looks like one of these circumstances where you have a merchant. Hang on just a second. I see Eagle. Where a merchant has a desire to simply move a person along and won't talk to the person themselves, or has some sort of, you know, I don't want you in my area paranoia or fear. Go ahead, Eagle.
But a lot of the merchants downtown, they come outside and they look at you, and then all of a sudden the cops show up.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
It's like I didn't do nothing wrong, and the cops are out there going, "You got to move along." And then you ask them, "What's the problem?" It's none of your business.
Right. Becky, you trying to wait and say something too, or?
Yeah, I was trying to think. You know, when a cop approaches, it doesn't feel natural to say, "I have nothing to say to you."
I have to talk
to an attorney. I don't have to tell you my name. I mean, those sorts of things don't seem natural. What would be natural if a cop came up, you could ask them quickly, "Is there a problem, officer?" And then you're trying to trigger the officer to tell you what's going on, so you don't have to guess why they're there.
Well, that's a good point,
and that's a good point,
and I think that, you know, always asking a question rather than answering one is often a good strategy in dealing with police officers, because the difference between you and the police officer is the officer can charge you with a crime. You're not going to be able to charge the officer with anything. So anything he says, he is free to speak if
it's
he wishes.
Law.
You know, well, that's also probably practically the truth. Les, you had a comment?
To what Eagle was saying, I know of one shop in particular that does not mind us being out there. I don't know if I should mention the name or not. But
it's up to you.
Yeah. That's right there by Santa Cruz Bookstore, Pacific Wave. They like us out there.
Mm-hmm.
And my personal opinion is I don't see why we can't be out in front of the shops within the legal distance.
Right.
Well, I think there's nothing wrong with it.
It's not up to the shop owners to determine whether you can be in front of their store or not. That's not their property. The sidewalk in front of the store belongs to the entire city. It's public property. you have as much right on a public sidewalk as you do anywhere else. Really,
I agree with you.
They can't move you along, and if a cop comes and tries to move you along, he doesn't really have a lot of legal basis to do that with, because vagrancy is no longer illegal, loitering is not illegal. Unless,
but yet they still have signs up for that.
Right.
Well, okay, here's the story on loitering. Loitering as just hanging around a place is not loitering anymore. Loitering is in conjunction with another crime. Say, for instance, you're scouting out a bank because you're going to rob it. That's illegal loitering. If someone else is committing a crime and you're doing a lookout, you're standing there serving as a lookout, that's illegal loitering. So in that sense, loitering is still illegal. But if there's no other crime involved, it's not. You have the right to legally stay in one place.
And actually, I don't think that's entirely accurate because, for example, if you're seated on the sidewalk and if you're panhandling illegally and you're also loitering and the panhandling is the crime, that you're not... There's no additional loitering is a fictitious charge. There's no such thing as loitering. You'll see no loitering signs, but there is no such crime anymore. There's loitering with intent to sell drugs that used to be a crime for a period of time. I don't even know if it's on the books anymore in Santa Cruz, but there is no loitering law in Santa Cruz. There is what passes for a loitering law in Coonerty's parking lot panic law, which says you can't go into a parking lot unless you're walking through or parking a vehicle.
And it effectively is a loitering
law.
But
they don't use the word loitering for a very good reason, because the loitering laws have been declared unconstitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Now,
so
that's
so,
a mayor you're
so
talking
the,
about, right?
What's that? Mayor Ryan Coonerty, yes.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if people want to organize resistance, and I know, Les, you've been talking about organizing a sleep-in at City Hall.
Yes,
and
I have.
You've been talking about, at the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom group that I work with, we've been talking about know your rights forms, or we can train people to at least understand what are their rights. They may not want to assert them, because when you assert your rights, you take a risk. You antagonize the police,
yeah,
you know, and you take
a risk.
But you will take a risk even if you don't. And often people who are, yes, sir, may still get the, They face the double indignity and humiliation of having their rights taken away from them, and still, perhaps not being able to use the space, not being able to, be able to remain in public as they have a right to be, to sleep at night as they have a right to do, under the Constitution.
Yeah, well, that
so,
goes back to the sleeping ban that I've been involved in for many years with you,
mm-hmm.
and. You're right. We have a right to sleep.
The Everybody. Point is, do people want to get together to find out what their rights are? And I'm happy to present my thoughts on this. I'm not a lawyer, although we have some people who have given us some legal counsel on this. People have been given Know Your Rights forums around these issues. But we need there's a very special kind of rights that homeless people need to be made aware of that is not covered by, let's say, the American Civil Liberties Union's
right.
stuff, because that has to do with people who have their houses. What do you do when a cop knocks on your door, or if a cop accosts you on the street? You say, do I have a right to leave? And you do. I mean, you generally do. And the police officer will try to talk you into saying, well, sir, we just like your cooperation. Thank you, officer. I'm leaving. And then you slowly leave. That's the best thing to do. But if you're a homeless person and you just want to be left alone and you're sitting on the street, what is your recourse? And we're trying to develop strategies and ways that people can respond to the police, where the police, if they do take action, face real potential legal consequences.
Yeah, I remember us talking about this.
Right. So I'm saying I would love to do this if people want to get together, and you're trying, I know, to get people together and do some meeting, and you haven't yet kind of put together the meeting times, I guess,
no.
that you want people to do this at.
Well,
Phone.
Go ahead and answer it.
Okay. All right, we have a call, and let's see who's calling in. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, it's Madison.
You've been listening to the show, Madison?
A little bit.
Good. What you got?
Are you going to do city council or anything?
There is no city council at the moment. City council didn't meet last week because it was Veterans Day.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Well, the ACLU here, after I was tortured in the jail.
Yeah.
And I was targeted because I'm a Fitzgerald, and I was targeted because I'm an artist, and I was targeted because I was standing up to Rotkin, and we wanted it quiet around here, and I was standing up to their
Madison,
drug
what,
program.
What's the point?
Well, I called the ACLU and Rodkin's part of it and his little agent runaround crowd.
Right.
And they discriminated against me.
Actually,
and I'm sure anybody else who was tortured in the jail had the same experience.
The ACLU had its annual meeting last night at the Loud Nelson Center.
Oh, they
I
did.
I take it you never got there, but I didn't get there either.
I walked through.
Yeah, well, that,
well
that,
every
that,
time also
they have a meeting once a year. What, if you want to talk about the specifics of, you know, your incarceration problem and then your attempt to follow up on it with Councilmember Rodkin, I'd love to hear that at
no,
some
I
point.
No, I didn't follow up with Rodkin, but I called the ACLU several times and I got discriminated against. No one called me back.
Of course, of course. The ACLU is not interested in local problems of that kind.
Well, if anybody wants has an issue with the Recreation Department and considering how many fees we're laying down.
And how many what?
Fees.
Fees?
Fees, you know, taxes.
Yeah, this is not really about what we're talking about, Madison.
Well, the grand jury, there's a complaint in there about the Recreation Department.
We're talking
so.
About harassment of homeless people on the streets of Santa Cruz, police overreaction.
Well, if
how
we have more jobs,
that.
Buddy, we'll have less homeless.
Yeah, that's true. And it might also be true that they should have good nutrition, but we're not talking about that either.
Yeah, okay? Well, if anybody's got an issue, like your kids don't have jobs, well, I just walked through a small site analysis of Loudon Nelson three times. And
Madison,
Jeanette Shoemaker
is,
has every single classroom empty.
I'm gonna leave you with this one because you really gotta now, you know, give us the topic that we're talking
about. Well, she's
about.
Not worth her salary. And that's causing homeless.
I had to cut Madison off here because while she's talking about a community issue, she's ignoring the fact that we're really, I mean, there are four of us here together who are trying to talk about some specific thing that has come up. And that's really what I encourage you to call in about. 427-3772. Is the phone number. Let's hear some more about from this incident on the street where Officer Inouye, I believe his name is,
Inouye,
was talking to an African-American guy with bunny ears with a claim that he was concerned that he was assaulting someone by blowing smoke in their face.
Yeah,
I didn't see the guy.
Was it good smoke or bad smoke?
Well, I don't think he's
It was cigarette smoke.
I don't think he's a smoker, frankly. I mean, I talked to several people who witnessed him earlier, didn't see him smoking. It could have happened. But again, since the party did not want to prefer charges, the officer's first statement what should have been to the individual, you know, you don't have to talk to me, but there was an individual who's really concerned about this, and, you know, if you were doing this, please don't do it again, and that'll be that, you know.
We're talking about the bunny guy.
Yeah,
home.
Right.
I've seen him out through Santa Cruz, and I have never seen him with a cigarette in his mouth.
Right. Well, he was outraged that the officer was harassing him. And the officer, who you'll hear me later confronting, was insisting that he wasn't harassing him at all. And I was outrageous in suggesting that the officer was harassing him. But, in fact, that's exactly what it is. If you come up to an individual, you don't inform them of their rights not to talk to you. That's why the Miranda decision was so important.
Right.
Back in the 60s, the Miranda decision said that, you know, you have to be informed of your right to be silent, to have an attorney present, and to have one appointed for you. Usually that's only given out these days if they're going to interrogate you with respect to a crime. But it's really important because people can feel very intimidated on the streets of Santa Cruz having communication with a police officer that isn't really of their wanting, and they're not being aware that they can say, "Officer, I don't want to talk to you. Can you please move on? Thank
you."
Now,
people really feel that they're obligated to talk to an officer. And they often feel like they're obligated to confess to things, which is the worst thing you can do.
Confess to your priest, to your guru, to your lover, to your best friend. Don't confess to the police is usually the best thing to do. I mean, I suppose there are some exceptions. I would like murderers and rapists to go confess. Yes, but you want to confess? I've been panhandling downtown. No, don't do that. Don't talk to the police unless you're asking them questions. Go ahead, Eagle.
Well, I think the cops are really being overrated downtown because they're going downtown now and just writing tickets if you're sitting on a corner. And when they start, you know, harassing God, I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's kind of low.
You mean harassing these religious folks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They tell them they can't talk about God down there. And they come down there every week and do food for the homeless and it's just so
well,
wrong.
The thing that I notice is similar to what happened in this incident with Bunny Ears, if you will.
Bunny Ears.
That's not his name, but yeah. You know, for the purposes of this conversation, he wasn't told, "You don't have to talk to me." because I'm not issuing you a citation. And even if you, if I were issuing a citation, all you'd have to do is give me information regarding, let me finish, regarding your name, address, and so forth, and you, I would put that on the citation. But I'm not even issuing you a citation. So if you don't want to, you don't have to talk to me. He didn't tell him that. Similarly, this officer or officers who gave tickets to the religious people didn't say to them, you're getting citations. I think it's probably an unconstitutional thing because, I mean, I've walked by your thing every week. You know, the police do. They patrol regularly. They walk by this. We didn't notice any problem. The fact that some other citizens don't like you here shouldn't prevent you from challenging this in court and continuing this activity if you want. I mean, I may give you a second citation if the citizen insists, but then the citizen will bear some liability for making a false police report on the situation. And obviously, another thing to do is if a citizen, this can be a risky thing, but if a citizen says, you know, wants to make, a cop comes up to you and says, I have a citizen's complaint that you're doing this and I'm not doing this, it's the citizen that's doing it, it's the citizen that's making the complaint. Do you say to the officer, well, do you think, officer, it's unreasonable noise? You're listening. What do you think? And if the officer does not say it's unreasonable noise, he can be a witness in your case that it's not unreasonable noise. But the point is, these people should have been able to continue doing what they're doing, and the officer should have said to them, you know, you've gotten a complaint, and there may be a second complaint about this, but you can keep doing what you're doing. I mean, I'm not arresting you. I'm citing you for this based on their complaint. Now, it would have been interesting to me if the officer would say that if you continue it, I'm going to take you to jail. That would have been an interesting commentary. But just the point is, the presence of the officer intimidates people from doing what is constitutionally protected activity.
This is very,
you know,
true.
I think that this Christian group that got cited, that they're probably cracking down on them more for feeding people than
the
they are for
assembly, yeah,
singing Christian songs.
Oh, for sure.
Even though that was the actual
charge.
Yeah,
we talked about that earlier. I think that was my opinion, too.
I think, they've probably seen a bunch of homeless people around the religious thing, and they didn't like it.
We kind of agree on that. I mean, let's get past that. I mean,
but,
the point is, what do we do? How do we advise people when these circumstances come up in the future on the streets, how to resist this kind of fear and intimidation? That's my concern.
What we talked about at the meeting about our human rights, and
we have no rights.
And that is what the police would have you believe, you see. You have the right to sign my ticket and go to court and get a lot of hassle and do what I tell you to do. But the fact is, you do have rights.
Yes, we do.
And therefore, the question is, how can we together effectively assert those rights as a countervailing force against the police force and the merchants who somehow feel that they have the right to make people disappear?
Well, we need to learn about the rights.
Right.
And we need to educate
and what you need to do and others need to do who are out there is to organize. And as I said, I'm happy to broadcast reports, and that's what we're doing tonight, and to discuss the issues. But the real power is going to come when people start saying, peacefully, no. No. Officer, I'd like to be left alone. Thank you. And then when the officer does say, I'd like some witnesses, please, to this whole encounter, you know, so that other people will gather and observe what goes on. So the police and then if it happens during the day, you say, you know, officer, I'd like to be taken to a magistrate before I sign the ticket. I'll sign the ticket, but I'd like to go to a magistrate to see if there really is probable cause for this citation. This could be a tricky kind of thing to do, but we can talk about this in these kinds of know your rights forums. And I'll come at the 2:00 on Sunday. If people want to show up, I'd be happy to give a forum there and talk about it a little bit, to give a sort of a small training such as I'm doing on the air. This is 2:00 in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz on Sunday.
Right.
But frankly, I want to hear from you that there are actually people who want to come.
Well, if there's any of my people out on the streets listening to this, please be at the Santa Cruz bookstore at 2:00. It would be very educational.
Right, and I would say give me a call tomorrow or the next day if you actually find some people who want to come to this thing.
Right.
You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. We're listening to a, every now and then, we're listening to a tape of something that happened a few days ago where Officer Inouye was actually, you know, I'm sure he felt he was just doing his job, passing on his concern about a citizen who said that some guy blew smoke in his face. Again, an anonymous citizen. See, so That's another thing to do. If you really want to stand up for yourself, you say, you know, if there's a citizen who wants to make a complaint, let him fill out a complaint. Let's do a ticket, and we'll talk about it in court. And that's fine.
Exactly.
You know, and that means the citizen has to come forward. And indeed, the citizen, you know, and I'm not saying this is an attempt to intimidate a person who has a legitimate complaint. But there are so many complaints that are not legitimate, that are based on fear, I just want to get rid of this person from my vicinity, that kind of thing will be discouraged. Now, merchants have been throwing seminars, or they were in the last 6 months, as to how to get these complaints to the police and get people to move along when you don't want them there, through using complaints, the complaint process. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's hear some more from the street.
Okay. Sir, can't ride skateboards down here, okay? Can't ride skateboards down here. Can't ride skateboards down here. Thank you. Pardon?
Who's smoking anybody?
Okay. I
don't know who you heard this from, but I do. I swear to God, it's complete bullshit. I swear.
All right.
I mean, golly, man, I ain't even doing anything to nobody, man. I ain't even hassling nobody out here, dude.
Sir.
You know, I'm just getting some little bullshit car for no goddamn reason, dude. Really? I mean, fuck, man, I ain't even been here 24 fucking hours,
and the host comes over trying to shush up the person here on the sidewalk.
No, I'm upset because I'm being accused of bullshit. I'm not gonna touch any goddamn body, dude. I ain't doing anything to any fucking body, man.
Have you taken any drugs then?
No.
Notice the tactic now being used. The individual complains about police misconduct. He expresses anger and outrage, and the question is, have you taken any drugs today? Are you insane? Can we disregard everything you're saying, even though it's been provoked by my coming up to you, demanding your ID, accusing you of a crime that you feel you're not guilty of, from an anonymous person who isn't even willing to fill out a complaint?
Okay, because you're overreacting big time, okay?
I'm overreacting because you're accusing me of this or whatever the hell
listen
I'm doing, man.
I got a call to investigate it. I'm talking to you, okay? I'm not arresting you. I told you that already. If you disagree or you doubt that I got the call, you can call the PD.
This is disingenuous. He doesn't tell him you have a right not to talk to me. He's not obliged to, but if he were really being honest, that's what this officer would do.
They wouldn't tell you who had made a complaint and what it was about or anything like that. They're not a service organization in that way.
So the officer is, in fact, probably lying to this guy. And let's hear further what goes on.
And you can make a report. If you think I'm harassing you, you can call my supervisor and you can make a complaint.
I actually tried to do this after it was over. He wouldn't wait for his supervisor. He didn't call him. I actually had a friendly conversation with this guy today. But, you know, what he was saying at the time is so much, you know, reassurance, reassurance, reassurance. Everything's okay. Do what I say. It's all the same message. I'm okay. What I'm doing is okay. What you're doing is wrong. It's just sort of a message. It's a lulling pattern that has nothing to do with the content of what he's saying. What he's saying is not accurate or true. And he doesn't follow up on it. Even if in theory you can call a supervisor.
Okay. But
I feel like you're arresting me because I ain't doing anything to anybody, man.
Okay.
I was down there a little while ago playing my guitar. I moved because she told me to move around.
She is a host who is there and who is, you know, backing up the police. These are the people that CHIP, the Downtown Association, at least in the interview in the newspaper, says he wants to see increased as a vigilante group that would help police the mall. Right? Now, again, I'm getting this from the Santa Cruz Sentinel. I've invited CHIP to call in. If I'm wrong in any of this, I invite him to do this or to be on another show and talk about it. 427-3772 is the call-in number. Eagle, you got a comment?
Nope.
Okay. Thought I saw you raising your hand.
But anyways, yeah, we would definitely like to hear from Mr. CHIP.
Yeah, well, CHIP actually invited me to chat with him. I appreciate that. CHIP must know that first and foremost, I'm an advocate for the rights of people that I feel his organization is not particularly concerned with. His organization has a different priority. Becky, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, his little group of volunteers that he wants to institute. Good grief. And we have enough trouble with the police and the hosts not understanding the law, misenforcing the law, doing things improperly. And a group of volunteers would be even less informed and even more likely to screw up and cause all kinds of problems. I think that's a really bad idea to have untrained volunteers out to be basically snitches, a snitch squad.
Well, that's what I got out of the article when I talked with Robert the other day, because I was outraged when I saw my picture in there and read this article that they're trying to clean up downtown Santa Cruz.
There's an article on the front page of the Sentinel for those who just tuned in. In the studio with me are Les and Becky Johnson, who are a homeless activist and a another homeless activist, respectively. I'm Robert, and again, the phone number is 427-3772.
I guess Eagle has flown.
And I think he flew the nest.
I think the Eagle has flown the nest. Let's take a brief musical break again, and then we will be back.
It's turning out pretty good. Mountain, I look for that rainbow sign. 15 miles on that lonesome road, and I'll be with that gal of mine.
Oh yeah, I'll be with that gal of mine. Well, I may be right, and I may be wrong, but you know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
Star shining, shining so fair and bright. If I follow that star through the wind and the rain, I'd be with my darling tonight.
Oh yeah, I'd be with my darling tonight. Well, I may
that was another one from the Magic Circle. That was called I May Be Right. It's actually from the album The Big Three Live at the Recording Studio from 1964, years ago.
Wow, I remember that year.
Yeah? You got to get close to the mic or else we won't be able to hear you.
I said I remember that year.
All righty. Well, again, we're going to put out the call. People are interested in fighting this kind of abuse on the streets, and you want to come to a Know Your Rights forum, or you want to discuss your concerns, or you want to possibly do a sleep-in and against the sleeping ban, which may be time for again.
Always a good idea.
Always.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is coming up. There is a 2 o'clock protest in front of the Bookshop Coonerty, also known as the Bookshop Santa Cruz, on this Sunday, 3 days off. Coonerty is the newly elected mayor who is quoted in this article. I just hear from too many people in too many parts of the city that they don't feel comfortable coming downtown. What's not mentioned here, of course, is there are plenty of people who are being made to feel very uncomfortable being downtown, and they're poor and homeless people who the police are harassing. You're going to hear some of them on these tapes. Also, be advised that attempts to get Ryan Coonerty to document his calls, his emails, specifics in terms of complaints he's gotten from real people have proved fruitless in the last year. So if he actually has got such a record, he's keeping it from us.
I would love to see that record.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I doubt he'll show it to you, but you can always give a call to the mayor, and anyone can if they want, at 420-5020, 420-5020. And, in fact, unless we can put you on the phone, you can give a call to Ryan here on the phone right now if you'd like. If you're interested, we have to actually get you through to his voicemail. And it's going to take you have to get through kind of a matrix of stuff. And I'm waiting for the options. When you come up with the right option number, let me know, and we'll go for it. You're going to be hearing...
The thrill.
You'll hear an extension number. Tell me which extension it is, and then we'll know which extension you can reach the mayor on.
I believe it's 2.
Extension 2, okay. And we're going to push extension 2, and then we're going to go live on the air, and you'll be able to talk to him through your mic. You'll actually just get a recording, but you'll be able to, you know, express your concern. You can use the Huff number, 423-HUFF, if you want, for him to call back on. Okay. Do we hear anything?
Office. Our office hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 12 noon and from 1 until 5 p.m.
If
you know your party's 4-digit extension, you may enter it at any time.
We're still waiting for the
mayor. If you are calling from a rotary phone,
this is what you get when you call City Council
at night, folks.
After
this recording repeats.
Hey, it's better than the Board of Supervisors where you don't get any answering machine at all.
After leaving a message, you may press 0 to return to the main menu. To leave a message for the entire council, please press 1. To leave a message for Mayor Ryan Coonerty, press 2. To leave a message for Vice Mayor Matthews.
Wait while I transfer
so
your call.
So we are now actually putting you on the mayor's line, so you'll be able to talk to him. Or at him, in this case.
Hi, you've reached Ryan Coonerty. I'm not in right now, but please leave a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. If you need to reach me, you can also try my home phone number, which is 831-423-8939. Thanks, and have a great day.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished, hang up or hold for more options.
Hi, Mr. Coonerty. This is Les Ward. I'm one of the homeless persons downtown Santa Cruz. We'd like to know more about the harassments that your city is giving us homeless people, and we'd like to maybe take a look at some of the records if you could provide that for us. Thank you, and you have a good evening. And call back. 427. Oh, 423. 4833. Thank you.
And that was Les calling in to Mayor Coonerty. And anybody can, 420-5020. And again, what we're looking for here are the records to reports supposedly that he has of homeless people harassing people downtown. Not so much of people. It's also interesting to hear about homeless people being harassed. But the whole basis for the police crackdown is the claim that homeless people or street people or people downtown are harassing out-of-towners or local residents or innocent shoppers or innocent customers and so forth and driving people away.
You know, it might be a matter of degree. I mean, some people think that if someone asks for spare change or something, that they're very offended by that for some reason, where another person might just brush it off as nothing.
I'm sure it is, but the point is, where are the records of any of these things other than anecdotes that the mayor's heard from his pals, from his friends, or from or sort of second or third hand from the downtown association?
Well, I think you got some distance on that when regarding the farmers market, when Ryan Coonerty was quoted in the paper saying that 10 different people had contacted him and said they had to do something about the drummers at the drum circle, and that then you did a public records request, and there really weren't any records, phone calls or messages.
There were 2 emails that I found and maybe 1 phone call that was later sent to me. So, you know, this over a period of 4 months. I mean, the point is there's no backup for this stuff other than the... Essentially, it's the cultural sense of the city staff, the mayor, some merchants, some conservative residents, and officials in the Downtown Association that there needs to be harsher policies, that we need to have a different kind of downtown. And they use these same kind of fear tactics that the national government uses, the war on drugs, similar to the war on terror. Need for more police, need for more military, you know. It's to me, it's all hauntingly familiar and equally bogus. Okay, I'm going to play some more or less unless you got more you want
to
say.
Well, you know, going back to the panhandling situations, I've heard all kinds of lines from people that I've asked for change. Well, why don't you get a newspaper and look for a job? Well, we're homeless. We don't have money. How can we afford a newspaper unless we steal? And me, I don't steal, and I don't like doing that.
Okay. All right, let's hear some more from this incident again with the bunny ears. The police officer telling the
I want to hear the bunny ears.
African-American guy, you know, that don't complain about this so loud. Are you on drugs?
Hey, I walked from up there straight to here. I didn't blow any smoke.
Pointing to the host woman.
Fucking cigarette, dude.
Here's the deal.
I wasn't smoking anything, man.
Here's the deal. You told me you were smoking, but here's the deal. I'm going to give you your deal back, okay? And you're going to tell me that you're...
I wasn't fucking smoking, dude. I wasn't smoking there in the course of me walking from there to here. I wasn't smoking anything.
You know what? You're convincing me that you're under the influence of something real quick.
So a protest convinces this guy, the cop, that he's under the influence. This is either a badly trained cop or someone who doesn't understand rage coming from an African-American who feels he's been falsely accused. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello?
Yeah, is Robert available?
Robert is on the air, and so are you. I can't hear you.
Fair enough.
You have to turn...
Hear me soon. Yeah, I wanted to comment on the whole... it seems like there's a lot of confusion about whether or not people are afraid to go downtown or nervous about going downtown because of the panhandling and whatnot.
Sure. What's your name, caller? What's your first name?
Bill.
Hey, Bill. Welcome to Free Radio.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks. Do you think people are lying about that, or do you agree that there's a... What's that?
No, I don't think people are lying, but I think that people have different standards about what they expect and that they're willing to tolerate. And what upsets them downtown? That, you know, I mean, some people are upset by the presence of African Americans downtown. Klan members, for instance. You know, some people don't. You know, different people have different standards about what they like. Some people don't like the idea of people sitting on the street with signs. It makes them nervous.
Could you put a percentage on the number of people that are aggressive when it comes to panhandling downtown?
What do you mean by
majority?
By aggressive, do you mean abusive, or do you mean, say, sir, can I have a dime?
Abusive.
What do you mean by abusive? Well, that's a good question. The laws, actually, I support laws against abusive panhandling, and I support certainly community pressure, if nothing else, against abusive panhandlers. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about any kind of panhandling that violates the current Coonerty laws, which are... If you can't, you have to be at least 14 feet from a building. You have to be at least 50 feet from a change-making machine. You can't have a sign that says, I want a dime after dark. It's a whole series of unrealistic concerns.
Yeah, those are futile attempts to kind of curb the whole problem that has nothing to do with that. I agree.
Right. And they're also repressive. They give the police an excuse to go after somebody just because they're violating those so-called laws.
And they do criminalize people for those as well.
But
they
could
be going after other people. Sorry, Robert.
Bill, go ahead.
I agree, but I kind of, on the other side, you know, I've lived on Pacific Avenue since 1997, 98.
Right.
I'm currently homeless, but...
We don't allow that in Santa Cruz.
Well, okay, I'm currently...
You better not be sleeping outside or I'm going to tell.
I've seen lots of fluctuations over the years, Robert, you know, and it used to be a lot different. It used to be a little bit more of a mellow place, to have to classify it, you know, I hate to do that, but it's been more mellow in the years, you know, with the kids drug dealing down towards the Laurel section. It just seems like, you know, and I know parents, I've worked in the elementary school areas, you know, and it just seems like I've heard from people and they say that they are a little bit more concerned about going downtown with their kids because of the aggressiveness of the panhandling or just the, you know, the general craziness that happens down there. And that's probably not all blamed on, that's probably all due to the panhandlers. There's many factions of keeping Santa Cruz weird, as the Coonerties want to put it. So, I wasn't sure. I guess the reason I'm calling is I wasn't sure what your take on that whole claim was. You know, whether you were sympathetic towards these people not wanting to go downtown, or whether you thought they were, you know.
Well, I got to be candid with you. I'm an advocate for people who are downtown getting harassed by the police, who are definitely getting harassed. There's no question. And they're getting harassed by being in the only public spaces, or the few public spaces they're allowed in. So I have more sympathy for them than for people who have houses to go to, all kinds of different options, and who just want to see this area in a certain way. And when they don't see it that way, it makes them uncomfortable. If you're talking about people who have been assaulted, people who have been really abused, then I'm definitely concerned about it. I'd like to see ways to address that. But I don't think that the ways that are being talked about behind the closed doors of the Downtown Association, as far as I understand them, or the ways the police are openly using on the streets, are either effective, constitutional, or humane. And, you know, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, like I said, I've lived down there since 97, and I can handle it, you know. There's a certain temperament or type of person that doesn't want to be around it or doesn't know how to explain it. Their kids, for example, and they just, you know, they complain about it and say it's, a problem and it needs to change. But, again, they don't really.
I mean, would these people be interested in going down to black neighborhoods in Oakland and hanging out and talking with those folks?
Well,
what I'm saying, those are neighborhoods. So the question I have for you is, should we then send the police around to change those neighborhoods so that they're more welcoming to a particular mentality of person? And, you know, I don't doubt that people are telling the truth. I was really upset when this individual, you know, said, "You rich scumbag," and some people may have said that, although I don't usually hear that coming from panhandlers. I think it's rarer than it's being led to believe, but they are present. There are a lot of panhandlers present. What you read in this article, if you read yesterday's Sentinel, was that somebody asked for food over for somebody's lunch over a period of 3 blocks, not abusively, that was not claimed, but they asked, and somebody suggested that was a problem, that people should put stickers out to stop that. I think they should put out more lunches to stop that, is what I think.
Need to get some more lunch programs going.
They're going after religious people giving away lunches. I mean, and they're also, and the whole, you know, it isn't really worth a lot of serious commentary, because I see this happen, you know, routinely, you know, every 2 or 3 years, particularly when somebody like Coonerty rolls up a lot of votes.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
A little off the subject. How did it go with Chip the other day? I heard you were talking to him. Did you record that?
I did. Chip and I chatted briefly. He's, you know, we know each other. He was part of the art scene for a while.
Sure.
And I'm still waiting for a call back from him. He was going to give me a call back and give me a report on how things went at the Downtown Association meeting. I did talk to some other folks who went to that meeting briefly, but I didn't really get a full report, so I don't have too much to report yet.
Hey, Bill, are you still living on the streets?
Who's Bill?
You're Bill.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. What's the question?
Are you still on the streets?
I couch surf, that's the way I like to put it.
Okay, because I almost know almost everybody down on the avenue.
I don't hang out down there and talk to, sorry to interrupt. What's your question?
I'm just wondering if you're still on the streets.
I couch surf. You know, yeah. I have a lot. I've lived in Santa Cruz for many, many years, and I have lots of friends. And
has the situation gotten worse economically for you, Bill?
That's the point I was trying to get at.
In the last 6 months,
worse economically? Well, yeah, more sure. I've been in the social work field for a number of years, since '93, and it's gotten nothing but worse.
What about the last year? If things gotten worse in the last year, for you?
Oh yes.
Because I know that certain businesses I've talked to have, some say bravely, "Oh no, we're doing fine," and maybe they're telling the truth, and perhaps they are, you know. But
when you look at the vacancy rate of the business properties downtown, I think it's gone up by like 60% or 70%.
Which is another, if that's true, and I know there certainly have been some more vacancies I've seen. That's another motivation that I guess some business people feel for, you know, blaming homeless people, because they're looking for something to that they can control. To change this, let me move on, Bill. Unless there's something more you want to say.
No, that's it. I just wanted to get your take on the Chip thing, and just comment on whether or not
people have a genuine concern about panhandling downtown.
Yeah, like I don't think that's going to affect the business downtown. Do you? I mean, is that what their concern is? It's like, okay, you can't have these panhandlers because
that's been a hallelujah chorus and amen chorus that's been happening for years in the business community. They're always claiming, that we need to get rid of these panhandlers and homeless people because it's badly affecting business, and if we badly affect business, it affects the taxes, and affects the taxes, it cuts off the social services, and it hurts the very poor homeless people that we're trying to get rid of.
A lot of us homeless are not all that bad.
Yeah.
Well, the whole system is screwed. You know, I was telling a friend, I'm on MediCruise right now, the insurance, because I'm homeless and unemployed.
Right.
And I have a job offer, but I might be diagnosed with some sort of tumors or something.
Right.
And I'm afraid to take the job, because if I take the job, I'll no longer have health insurance.
Well,
so,
I'm sorry to hear
that. You know, it's like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Well, thank you for the call. I'm going to play a little more before I have to roll away. I've only got about 11 minutes left in the show. Thanks.
Good luck, Robert.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye-bye.
What a choice. Do you want to live or do you want to live?
I'm going to roll with the rest of this interview, if I can, before we reach the end of the show. Here we go.
You want me to take you for a test?
Oh.
Okay.
And the officer saying, do you want me to take you in for a test, to the African-American guy who he has already said he has no criminal charge against, but because the guy is protesting against being in his ID being demanded, he's being told that somebody has accused him of blowing smoke in their face, and he has to promise not to do it again, even though he didn't do it in the first place. But by his,
he said that he didn't smoke.
And he said he didn't smoke.
I know the gentleman. He doesn't smoke.
And the fact that he's protesting loudly is now the basis for a threat from the police officer. This is what we call harassment and thuggy-type tactics, and you see me expressing concerns about this in a moment.
Can I suggest you calm down? Can you do that?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Can you calm down? Can you do that? In other words, can you show respect to an approach that shouldn't have any respect, that deserves no respect, that in fact deserves criticism, and perhaps the appropriate volume of criticism that this man was giving back to the police officer?
Do me a favor. Take your deal. Okay? Make sure if you're walking down the street, you do not do that. I wasn't there. I don't know if you did. Okay? I can't say it. I wasn't there. I'm just saying I got a report. Okay?
No.
Do we still have a problem?
Thank you.
Okay. Are you going to question the person who gave the report about it possibly being a false report? Officer Unwaid?
You cannot.
Huh?
No, you can't. You can call the PD. You can talk to my supervisor.
Are you going to go ask the person who made the report whether perhaps it was a false report? Because he can also file a charge against a person for a false report. You know that.
No.
Oh, no? No, that's not true?
I am not.
You're not. But you're aware that's a possibility.
He can do what he wants.
Right. But you're not going to be investigating. You're just going to harass this guy on the sidewalk. Because it looks like
just
that.
Go ahead and talk to him if you like.
I barred you. I'm trying to talk. You told me I could talk to you after we finished speaking. You're walking away from me.
You're accusing me of harassing somebody.
It looked like that to me.
If you're going to talk to me like that, go away. Okay?
Go away.
Don't talk to me or I'll go away.
Hey, look.
If you want to talk
talk
to me with respect.
You're an officer.
Yes.
You've had training in these matters.
If you want to talk to me,
I can be candid about what I feel. And if I see something in regards, you're not willing to talk. Officer, that's inappropriate behavior.
Thank you, sir.
If I say I accuse you of harassment because you won't take a report, I think that's a legitimate concern.
Number 101.
What's his name?
Sergeant Bush. Call him.
You call him. You can call him over and I'll make a complaint right now. Go ahead.
You call him. You want
the complaint would be that you're walking away and refusing to talk. That would be the complaint. All right, I'll follow you around and see what's going on, shall we? All right, so I'm continuing behind Officer Unwee because I want to see what he's up to on the sidewalk here today in Santa Cruz.
And it's Officer Inouye, not Officer Unwee. My apologies for mispronouncing the officer's name.
And he approaches the person in front of Borders and says he can't sit on the plane and says that there'll be damage to the planter. The court is hogwash. There's no such thing as damage to a planter. It's simply a rule that merchants have enforced and created so that police have the option to tell people to move along. And I'm going to keep an eye on what the officer's up to here. You still upset the man. You've upset this gentleman. Look at him. He's shouting. I don't tell you my name.
No, you don't.
Why, do you want my name? I'd be happy to talk to you if you'd like.
What is your name?
I'm Robert.
Robert what?
Why?
I'm asking you. You don't have to tell me.
I know. Why are you asking me?
I don't have to tell you that. I'm just asking.
Well,
I'll tell you.
If
you want to walk away, you can.
Sure, I understand. I appreciate that, officer. Now, for the purpose of this conversation, why do you want to know my name?
I'm asking. If you don't want to tell me, you don't have to.
Well, you know, I've told you, Robert. What's your first name?
Ron Inouye.
Ron. Well, I'm Robert Norris, N-O-R-S-E, if you want to.
Oh, it's Ron Inouye, not Ron Inouye. So I've gotten it wrong all along. I'm sorry, Officer Anoy. It's an annoying situation. It is annoying, I guess. That's what he's saying. And he probably gets a lot of problems with pronunciation because we're not very well trained, those of us, to... it sounds like maybe a Hawaiian name, or I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's a Hawaiian name.
Your mic isn't up, but we'll make sure it is next time.
Check up on me, for one reason or another. But, you know, it's not personal. I don't have anything against you as an individual. But
you are being extremely rude.
I don't think so. No offense.
You know darn well that I received a call to go down there and talk to somebody.
Okay? I understand that you did.
You know darn well that I'm not going to risk my job to harass somebody. You know that.
Well, perhaps.
Of course, he wouldn't be risking his job to harass someone. That would be his job. Because that's the point, that it isn't called harassment. It's called sternly moving along homeless people who are a potential problem. And he actually, in this situation, I mean, let's give the officer due credit. He didn't insist the man leave. He let him stay where he was. But again, he put him in his place in a way that I think constituted harassment.
It sounded like he said that you were harassing him.
He threatened to take the guy down and drug test him. I consider that harassment.
Yeah.
Okay.
What you regard as normal contact, others may regard as harassment. I think that's a genuine difference of opinion, and that's what I was expressing. And that's why when I said harassment, it wasn't meant as an insult. It was meant as a concern I had. That was the point. And again, my question that I had for you before was, and this is...
You didn't throw that call, Henry 60, I talked to him.
Has to do with the fact...
Does the ERP want to make a claim or sign a citation?
The concern... Well, let me know when you're finished here. I don't want to interfere with what you're doing, but you seem to be trying to talk to me at the same time. So the reason I stopped you to talk to you... But you're not talking to me. You're on your own phone here, so I can't really discuss it. All right, so I will just keep an eye over here. How's it going? Any hassles today?
No, not yet, man. I'm doing all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm talking to this police officer is because he had a contact with a man up there with a sign, an African-American guy sitting up there. Is anybody interested in this issue? Or?
I have another question.
No? Yes?
I need the cops for assholes all the way around.
Well, you know, I was just trying to see what was happening in this particular situation. Where did he go? Did he disappear?
He's running from you. He's running from you.
I better keep after him.
Right.
All right.
And the officer got away. Oh, well. But you get an idea of my concerns about what's going on at Pacific Avenue and also how the police are responding to it. I suppose someone may consider that I am harassing the police officer. I don't think so. I think that kind of dialogue is important, and I think, frankly, people need to do more of it.
Oh, I'm pursuing this officer in order to see what's cooking. Anything you want to say about this contact you had with him?
Well, I'm going to file a fucking report, man. This shit ain't fair, man.
So we're talking to the man who had you just heard the recording of the conversation between myself and what's your first name?
Michael.
And Michael, you were asked for your ID, and he didn't make you aware that you had the option not to identify yourself, right? He just asked you for the ID.
No, he just asked me for the ID.
Right. Now, you weren't really aware that you had the option to say no to the ID, right?
I wasn't aware of it, no.
Right. I mean, he claimed he was investigating a complaint, but the ID has nothing to do with the nature of the complaint. Who you are is not relevant. He might want to ID check everybody on the avenue, because everybody on the avenue might be guilty of a crime, right, somewhere or other. They might have a warrant out for themselves. But in terms of the specific accusation he had against you, blowing smoke in somebody's face, your ID has nothing to do with it, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Well, that's why I suggested that there was a sort of harassment going on, and I also felt... And maybe not. Maybe he was. I think he probably was accurately just going after a call he got. Yeah, and there is a general concern for the number of people watching that didn't like what he did either.
Excuse me? I was working at 50, dude.
Huh?
I was working at 19.
He thought the cop was an asshole, is what he said. Yeah. Right on. Well.
It's a dirt road right here. It's all white.
He's a little wing nutty on occasion. That's,
what's that have to do with me, bro?
He takes offense quickly. Anything you want to say for free radio for the folks out there?
Fuck police, dude.
Thank you.
Sorry.
So my other concerns about this had to do with the fact that the officer, and I'm now walking up the street kind of giving a soliloquy on the subject, didn't bring over the individual with the complaint to confront the accused person, didn't suggest that it might have been a false police report, but it was all the blame was laid upon the individual African-American sitting on the sidewalk with a panhandling sign. It seemed to me to be disproportionate.
Yeah.
So we're talking to a jeweler. What's your name, jeweler?
Mrs. K.
And mistress, what nice-looking jewelry. You've been out here for how long?
I travel through here from time to time for the past.
In front of the Del Mar, kind of.
How long have you been sitting in front of Del Mar?
In front of the Del Mar. It's a half hour. The cops came by here and kicked everyone else out.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Okay, bye.
Why did they kick them out?
Someone said, called in a complaint of aggressive panhandling.
And you were here, did you see anybody being abusive and panhandling?
No, but even if you ask for 1 cent, just verbally asking is called aggressive, so they told them all to leave. And I'm not asking for anything. I need gas money and food, so I'm going to make a sign, which you're allowed to do.
Indeed, you have the first word of that sign made in rather colorful lettering out,
yes,
as well as a few pieces of nice jewelry displayed on a nice-looking hat in front of your feet. You didn't see an African-American guy with a pair of rabbit ears up here earlier?
Yes, I did.
Did you see why he was... Did you hear any conversation or see him being told to move?
Anything what?
Was he told to move on? Did you see any... Was he part of that group?
No, I only passed him earlier. I didn't spend much time...
Was he smoking at the time?
No.
And there's a little more witness discussion of this whole case. But that's it for this particular edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Thanks to Les, thanks to Becky, and thanks to the already absent Eagle. I'll be back again on Sunday at 9:30 with more of the same, some continued interviews from the street. If you see problems on the street, please don't run from them. Observe them, keep an eye on them, document them, and give a call off-air to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-48.
If you need any assistance, I'll be out tonight, so I'll be by Santa Cruz Bookstore.
And Les, you're going to be coming by at 2 o'clock on Sunday in case you want to have a bunch of folks who are concerned about this issue and want to, you know, carry on this kind of protest and this kind of stuff further. Coming up next is From the Cream to the Dregs with Uncle Dennis. Dennis, anything coming up tonight we should know about? Any particular beer you wish to share with us?
He has a brown paper bag.
It's going to be revealed in half an hour.
Oh, okay. All right.
You can't jump the gun.
We don't know what's in the paper bag.
Indeed. Well, thanks again, everybody, for being with me on this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. We'll talk to you again on Sunday. Thanks.
Run, shine, it's always here to stay. All this year.
civilization. We're all due a thousand tribulations. There is a battle that's out of the year. And tingling the airline cries all his tears. And it's come before we can go. Learn to save him before we're too old. Don't just take me for trying to be here. Understand? Time to get ready for the storm.
For the unknown soldier nestled in your hollow shoulder, the unknown soldier.
Oh, you have.